Welcome to Societal Shapers, a podcast by PL Cadilla, the place to get inspired, find your purpose and courage, and get tools to become the next female leader, creating real results and meaningful changes.
Welcome to another episode of the Societal Shapers podcast, the place to get empowered and get more life hacks to overcome challenges and personal barriers. So today with me, we have Carla Cabrera, who's from the Philippines. She is a CEO, entrepreneur, and branding strategist with a history of working for over 20 years in the advertising industry. So Carla is an advocate of women empowerment and pioneered the number one international pageant franchise in the Philippines for married women and single mothers. So this is such an interesting area, and I would love to know more about it. So Carla, tell us more about yourself and about this pageant that you created.
Hi, first of all, hello, I'm Carla. I'm from the Philippines, and hello, KL. Basically, about myself, I'm born and raised creative. So I was, I'm with the family of artists, actually. My father is a master painter and an artist, and my uncle is a national artist here in the Philippines, Ben Cab, and my father, Salvador Cabrera, who made waves in the art industry during the 70s and the 80s. And three of my brothers are actually all artists. So, I mean, being creative and being an artist is like, you know, we live and breathe that kind of lifestyle. And, well, half of my life I was in also in the fashion industry, being as a model and a beauty queen. But I'm also an entrepreneur. So I started my business as early as 19. And I started in, yes, and started in concert production. Okay. And in school, you know, and I was very independent then. And I have to, and this event evolved actually to corporate events, which led me to actually build and establish my advertising agency. So now I evolve as a branding and identity consultant and strategist. And yeah, I'm here to empower identity for both personal and corporate. So basically, you also ask how I define success, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. First, I think I believe we have to be happy first before we become successful. A lot of people are always happening, always waiting for success to happen before being happy, but I don't believe in that. You know, we have to have a sound mind and a heart before actually gaining success, because success is a lot of things, and I think peace is the most successful state you can achieve in success. I mean, what would you do with money and fame and other achievements if you don't have peace, right? So, and success is basically not wanting more for me. It's actually wanting to do more, because you feel this certain self-actualization in life that you flow already passionately. And you feel this sense of stability to keep on allowing yourself to evolve. And at the same time, you want to create something every now and then. So that's the definition of success for me.
That's lovely. I also asked about the, how did you start off the International Pageant franchise for married women and single mothers? How did that come about?
Okay, I'll give you a little history on that. As a former beauty queen, I was scouted, actually, and selected only last 2011. There's no pageant in the Philippines. I mean, Mrs. Pageant are like, what is that? It's a pageant country, but we don't have Mrs. Pageant. And back in 2011, I was scouted and selected to represent the Philippines in Mrs. Globe, which is the number one pageant now for married women and single moms all over the world. And I told myself, why not? But I was like, at first I was hesitant, because I was thinking, really, there's a pageant for married single moms? So I did my research, and I found out the founder and the owner, Dr. Tracy Campbell, who's from California, USA, actually is a psychologist and a life empowerment coach. And behind this is More Than the Glamour, because during the time when I was scouted to represent the Philippines. I'm already retired from the beauty business and fashion for almost 10 years. So I said, if I'm going back, this should have a deeper purpose. It shouldn't just be about beauty or glamour. And apparently, Dr. Tracy Campbell has a deeper purpose. And this is to really have genuine empowerment to those who actually participate as delegates in the pageant. So when I found out, I said, maybe this is worth the shot. So I prepared because I was out already of the business. So I prepared for like almost 4 months. I have to be in top mind and top body. So I shaped up and tried to bring back everything again. And so I went to California to compete and represent the Philippines. And from there, Dr. Tracy told me, you know, there's no franchise in the Philippines and you're in advertising and branding and you may want to try to get the franchise because it's really good for you. You have the expertise and you can promote this very well, especially on the environment side. You're a speaker, so you can really advocate this kind of cause. And so we thought about it. We validated the idea. It was quite a hit and miss thing until one brand actually believed in us and said, go for it, Carla, we'll support you. So we brought the franchise in the Philippines and we were the first and the pioneer actual pageant for married women and single moms from 23 to 55 years old. And that's where it all started till today. We're on our 8th year because what makes me do this more is basically when you see women transform every year. So we adapted some of the concepts and modules of Dr. Tracy and we teach them to all the candidates who's joining every year. So that's it. From then on, we've changed a lot of lives already.
Wow, that's such a beautiful story. Such a beautiful story. There's something which I wanted to take you back earlier, right? Because you're a woman with such confidence. And you know, you carry yourself so well. And you know, that mesmerizes me because you said that you started out on your entrepreneurial journey when you were 19 years old. So, you know, for a lot of 19-year-olds, especially when we are at that age, we're lost in terms of, you know, where are we going to direct our career? What do we want to grow up with? There's so many different options out there. And so we are inundated by information. We have all this pressure from our parents, from like peers or teachers or just our friends. And so how did you find that focus and strength and courage to want to start off, especially in entrepreneurship at that age?
Well, whoever I am now, I think I went through 4 waves of reinvention. It's not really as easy as you think. The journey stuff, but that's what Mrs. Globe gave me. I never thought that there's such thing as empowerment during the time. And there's such thing, there are such tools to reinvent yourself. You know, I just thought you just get old and go through life as you know it. Well, we're 7 in the family. I have 6 brothers. And they're all very strong in character and personality. I am the 7th child and the only girl. Most of the time, I'm always left out because the boys always do their thing. Yeah. So my mom brought me up really differently. So I'm more focused, disciplined, and she gave me a lot of attention because I'm the only girl in the family. And then she really went out of her way to develop my skills and my confidence. It's because basically I'm the only girl. And
how did she do quite that?
Well, I don't know, maybe because the guys are already, I mean, she knows the formula with men already. And then, for me, she did a different route how to bring me up. And most of them are artists, right? So they have their own world and everything. So my mom put a little structure on me. So I learned to focus because of that training. And, you know, I get engaged and involved to so many activities since probably I was 5 or 3 years old. So that's really, I mean, and I was so exposed to people because my dad during the time was so popular as an artist. So being around people and audience is like no brainer. It's like a normal thing for me as a child and as I grew up. And especially, I went to modeling at a very early age of 13. I was already doing couture shows at 15. So I started early, actually, in life. I always have this feeling that I'm more advanced than people my age or my friends or my classmates. And actually, during college, I'm already running a business, a startup business, and I get bored in school. I feel like I can do more things outside the university. And I was like really speeding up with the process of graduating. But at the same time, I didn't neglect my schooling. I had so far really good grades in everything. I don't know, maybe there's a big factor of how we were brought up when we were a kid. You know, it gives a big factor in how we will actually reinvent and build ourselves up. It's really a very strong foundation of our identity. This is how we're brought up. But apparently, I also learned that it doesn't have to be limited to that. You know, we can heal and, you know, make things right for ourselves, even though our families are not perfect. So, yeah, from there, my dad died when I was at a very early age. My dad died when I was 11. So, and then my mom's a leisure lady. I mean, sure, she trained me, she focused on me, but she never know, she doesn't know how to work. And then so when my dad died, there was a time after probably 5 years or so that we're having issues already how to survive in the family. Even though all my brothers have their own jobs already, when my dad died, I can feel like my education is at risk. And because simply my mom cannot find ways during the time because she got used to being provided for. And so this gave me a realization before my dad died. And she told me, I was just 10. I don't know what he's talking about, but for some reason it stayed in my mind. He told me, you know, be independent. Don't even depend on your own mother. And make sure you really stand on your own no matter what happens. And I kept that, you know, in my heart, in my mind. So when I was entering college, I can feel already, this is like a more dramatic take on our talk. But I can feel that my mom's already having a hard time in providing for me. And I'm already in my first year of college. And I want to finish school. I want to finish a degree. So that's when I started really pushing my modeling career. And fortunately, I was doing good. I was getting really good offers. My career is flying. And so actually, I paid for my own college. And I really did this because of all the modeling assignments I had, which I'm just lucky enough to get that much jobs in it. But the only challenge is really to sacrifice some of your social life and just have to work and go to school at the same time, which I keep on telling myself, okay, I'm going to survive this because I need a degree. And so I'm actually exposed to older friends, you know, and most of them are in business and they're entrepreneurs. I think it gave, I always tell people, I'm really an artist deep inside, but I just learned business. You know, I equip myself to do business and I'm exposed to this kind of friends. So they actually mentored me, exposed me to business. And then for some reason, I feel like, you know, I'm always advanced in my thinking. And I said, okay, I'll just register probably a single proprietorship. Eventually, you know, if you put up that confidence and credibility, people will believe in you, not because they're looking for experience, but they're also looking for grit, you know, and the willingness to do things and to learn. So from there, I started doing business in school by bringing the best bands during the 90s. It's a band fever all over our country during that time. It's like a big trend. So I started bringing, because I'm a model, so I have connections in the entertainment business. So I started bringing these bands in school. And from there, my career started in events. And yeah, but I'm always been independent and strong, I think, naturally. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that I didn't go through a lot of challenges. It's been tough. But, you know, it's just you never stop. You keep on moving forward.
I love what you've just said, right? So there's so many nuggets in your story. You know, the first one that I'd like to highlight is that there's no shortcut to success. And a lot of people, you know, see what's already at the top. They don't usually see what happens or the process or the journey, like all that's been skipped, right?
Absolutely, yes.
There's just no shortcut to success. And it's all about hard work, about grit, and about sacrifices, which a lot of young people today, you know, might not understand that, you know, might not be able to overcome these challenges. And that's one part that worries me also in terms of, you know, the availability of social media, the pressures in terms of, you know, wanting to be liked. And then so you see the rise of mental and emotional health issues, etc. And so, you know, all this, you know, little things that started to creep up, issues that we hear in society are, to me, alarm bells to say that, you know, we need to do something real for action today in terms of how do you equip our, you know, future generation with the right kinds of life skills. And I think for even for you, Carla, you know, one of the reasons, one of the things that you mentioned, which is your dad passed away when you were 11, did you say?
Yes.
Very early. So I'm really sorry to hear about that, but I relate to you because my father passed when I was, a lot older. I was 19, but even till today, like, that loss has impacted me in so many ways, but it has also given me a lot of strength and courage. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, with every life challenge, from your father's passing, from having to grow up with 6 other male siblings, right?
Yes, yeah.
And from having that support and structure, discipline, focus from your mother, and all that pressure that your mother puts you on by, you know, making sure you attend all sorts of activities and engaging you in all sorts, all that is already like a little curriculum. You know, that's like a little life MBA that you're going to at a much earlier age that has built this resilience and independence within you. And I think, you know, I think the audience is able to extract this from this conversation to know that it's not just something that people are usually born with, right? So leadership is not something that you are born with. You know, you can learn it. You know, being independent.
Absolutely.
Being strong, having courage. It's all parts of our life, pieces that we have to put together, and we have to find the silver lining. We have to learn how to get back up when we've been knocked down, and how you build confidence and independence and grit and resilience. So I love the story that you shared, and I'm going to move on to the next question, which is, you know, so what exactly motivated you to become an advocate for women empowerment? Is there a backstory? Is there some form of social injustice that you saw or witnessed? Right?
Okay. Well, when you say empowerment, you know, it's enabling people to have their own power, right? And personally, it came to me at my weakest point, ironically, right? You want to gain power when you just reach that rock bottom. When things are getting really great and flourishing, you feel like you're powerful, right? You don't need it. It doesn't come to your mind. But during the time when I joined Mrs. Globe and represent the Philippines back in 2011, my married life is not really doing well already. And I'm going through a lot of, which is confusing me because I'm very independent. You know, I'm a very confident child and I have my business at an early age. But for some reason, love hits us. All of us are victims of love. And apparently during the time my marriage, not really working well because basically, it's not because you have a bad person with you. Sometimes you just really have the wrong person. And I just became stagnant. My life just stopped. It's like it's a plateau. Nothing is evolving or nothing is growing. And part of me, why I, you know, I'm a risk taker. A lot of people think, oh, you always take the risk. To go, there's no other way but to try, right? But of course, you calculate the risk too. So I said, maybe it's worth it to go there and listen to Dr. Tracy, and probably this will give me some light. And true enough, when she did an empowerment session, it just changed my whole life already. And, you know, when I was doing the pageant at first, it was a lot of sacrifice of, you know, extra work and even money. It's not really a profit-making thing right away. It's just when you see the transformation that's really happening in the lives of these women, it's the fuel that pushes you to keep on going. And there are people who really believe in me around me, which is a blessing during the time. So I was really feeling weak in the marriage, and I feel I'm so lost. And when I heard empowerment sessions back then as a delegate of our country, I said, oh, so this is possible. I have my way out. because I feel trapped during the time. And so when I started doing the pageant, and I see more and more transformation in the lives of these women, and you'll be surprised, they're powerful, they're beautiful, but they're not really empowered. They're so trapped because their mindsets are really wrong. And I just realized what's wrong is how we think. We thought there's a wall already, but it's invincible. We thought it's the end of the road of things for us because there's marriage. And I just realized when you get married, you don't actually go down. You have to shine. You have to go up. You have to grow more. But we're all not thinking, especially in the Philippines, there's a culture thing that when women get married, it's the end of your career. It's the end of your social life. It's the end of being beautiful. But no, I discovered the secret, which is the secret, is just to allow yourself to evolve. So because of that burden, readily after a few years, I said, this will be my advocacy. I was asking the Lord during the time I came back here, should have a deeper purpose. Why am I not in the poor people or the old people? Why am I here in the space of women? Because there are also challenges, you know, in doing women empowerment. There's a lot of emotional challenges. Some would see you as an opponent, rather. They're very competitive, yeah. Rather than seeing you as an ally to, you know, to hold hands and make your lives better. But they put you down. They throw their garbage to you. You should listen to Dr. Tracy Campbell in her webinar series. It's like Memo from Normal Land. Some are really living in fantasy and so much denial, and they hate what's happening with others because others are flourishing. So I went through a lot of emotional ups and downs in doing women empowerment. But hey, it's worth the wait. It's worth the pain. No pain, no gain. So until here, I'm still here. And there are times I want to give up, to be honest with you, because it's emotionally draining. You know, we as women, we're very emotional beings. Really, sometimes we act like vampires to each other. We really drain each other. We forget that we have to help each other and really give that energy to each other instead of, you know, draining each other out.
Yes.
But again, it takes a lot of things. It's how you're brought up, your experiences, how did it change your mindset? I mean, empowerment is a serious commitment, and mentoring and coaching needs a lot of skills and professionalism. And until now, I keep on looking for ways to find some tools or modules or any information or knowledge that will equip me more to help these women. And it's an ongoing process because every woman has a different case. And it's unbelievable how many cases we have. I mean, I can only speak for my country, but yeah, it's really a big, big role. And there are two roles that were always, I think, I discovered when I already accepted this to be my advocacy. There are two things that's always conflicting within us. The role we have to play, meaning if you're a civic leader, for example, you're a woman senator, that's a role you have to play, right? You have to advocate some policies and laws. And then there's the true self and identity we have. Okay, so how do you marry both of that, the role they have to do, and the genuine self inside? A lot of women are very good in fulfilling roles because, you know, we always have this aspiration that our lives are perfect. I'm little miss perfect. Even though I'm going down and crushing, I'm still perfect. And we really forget who we are. That's why I'm into branding and identity as well. Everything just falls in place. And I said, how come we always forget ourselves? And if you hear, you know, we have empowerment sessions in Mrs. Philippines Globe every year. And we have, the orientation includes storytelling, okay? And everyone, maybe 9 out of 10 would say they just forgot who they are because they have to be a mother. They have to be a wife. They have to do their job. They have to be a daughter, even though they're married. There's so many roles that, that really puts a lot of noise in our head. We just really forgot who we are. And once you forget who you are, I don't think anything will grow. I don't think anything will evolve. Yeah. And that's always the core problem. And once I always say in empowerment, I have this module, Empowerment 7, I always see the gold in everyone and I'll help you polish it. I'm not going to supply you. I'm going to help you stand up because it's not sustainable. We're not narcs or narcissists to always depend on someone to supply you with emotional validation or an affirmation with your character. It's going to be you, your inner strength, your inner power, your worth. So I work with self, your story, your self-worth, and that would be your brand.
Sorry to stop you, Carla. I mean, there's so much, so many nuggets of wisdom here, which I'm like just loving to do, right? But, I think, you know, this is probably also something which is on the question and the minds of the audience. So you mentioned something about how, you know, going through your marriage was probably one of the pivotal moments in your life that actually taught you some lessons and gave you that push to do other things or to pivot your life to do modeling. So can you share a bit more about the marriage itself? Like, you know, what was not right about it? You know, are you still, you know, in the same marriage? Are you divorced? I mean, this is just something that we all go through. This is reality.
Yes. I'm in a process of my annulment already. I'll be the happiest person once it's finished. I'm not enemies with my ex-husband. It's just, I just learned the biggest lesson is when you marry somebody, you have to be yourself more. But in this case, their family and he himself, they grew up fitting in a mold because they're in a very conservative religion. And you are brought up, I learned, you know, in their space and culture, you're brought up to follow and fit in the mold, which is very conflicting on how I was brought up as a child, because my parents would always tell us, you have to be original, you have to be unique, you have to be yourself. I mean, faking it is like not a word in the family. Everyone's so real and having their own burst of character. And that really built a very strong conflict in me, where to a fault where I was suffering already. Because, of course, you're a wife and you want to please your husband, right? You want to be the best wife. Yeah. You want that little miss perfect life in you. And so you have to submit because it's what society tells you that a wife should submit. But I forgot the truth that you have to be loved first before you submit. Meaning if you're loved, not being just taken care of or provided for, but you have to be acknowledged and be loved and celebrated who you really are and be accepted. But all along, I was married for 7 years. So half of that time, I was trying to fit in a mold, which is not my nature. I'm an artist. I've always been who I am. I'm Carla, uniquely. Everyone's unique, you know? And I've been doing that until I reach rock bottom because I'm lying to myself. I just forgot who I am. Just imagine if you will try to pretend and forget who you are, and you live that life day in, day out, you're gonna go nuts. And it's good, and I thank God, because this will not be possible without faith as well. I realized that just because I went back to the pageant industry with a deeper purpose. And, you know, that's, as you said, it's very pivotal. And it took a while. It took a few years for me to really discern if I'm going to go for this partnership or end it.
You know, everything that we've spoken about, especially just on this marriage, you going through divorce, it is something which I can relate to, because I also went through a very long and painful divorce. But the difference is I have two kids with my ex, and also, you know, in the same position where, you know, he's not a bad guy, but it's just that we have different worldviews. And that was the reason of, you know, when you have different worldviews, then the light in you starts to dim because you're trying to fit in this mold of that person's worldview. And it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And then instead of, you know, saying that, you know, your partner should be bringing out the best in you, if you know that you landed on the right partnership, instead, this person is bringing out the worst in you. So then you know that it's not a good relationship, because instead of being, you know, the bright light that you are slowly dimming, and you feel that you feel resentful. You know, why am I this person who I'm authentically not and trying to fit into, and that's just not me? And then you feel bitter, and then you start having jealousy, you start looking at other people's lives, and you start to envy other people, and that's just horrible, right? And no woman should be in that position. And I think this whole session has to be for another podcast. It can't be covered here, because it's such a great topic to talk about, and I
know
a lot of listeners would, you know, definitely benefit from this. So I'm not going to go too much into it, but I really
need a part two.
I know, need a part two, right?
Oh yes,
I have one more question with regards to female leadership in the public sector. But before I quickly summarize some of the stuff that you mentioned earlier, which is, you know, love is actually our greatest teacher. We can have, we can be a lot of, we can have many different personalities, right? But our true character and being able to understand ourselves comes when we are at the rock bottom, as you mentioned it. When, you know, when you go through, you know, the biggest life challenges, which is either a loss, a divorce, you know, you break off your friendships, or you have a breakup, and all this is because you love somebody else so much. It's a relationship that's on the basis of love, and so love becomes our greatest teacher to understand ourselves. And I think that's you know, one of the main things that's come up from your experience. And I think you've learned to love yourself for who you are, really get to know who you are.
Self-love is important.
Exactly. So because you love yourself so much and you know your value, you had to make that decision, which is to step out of the marriage that was not working. And it's okay, right? A lot of women needs to hear this, that if you go through and the marriage doesn't work out, it's not a failed marriage. It's just a marriage that didn't work out, and it's okay. Right? A lot of women guilt themselves.
True. That's so true.
And they try to keep that marriage just because of the pressure or the fear of shame. They don't want to lose face, pride, ego. And that's hurting themselves. So, you know, I hope, you know, the audience is able to take away with this really, really amazing wisdom you shared. And just to ask my last question, right? Because the topic of our session today is more about promoting, advocating women leaders in the public sector space. So in the Philippines, right, because a lot of things which you shared is also very similar to Malaysian and Malay culture, I think.
Yeah.
So do you think that we need more female leaders in the public sector space?
That's true.
You agree?
I agree. It's a very, very influential space wherein comes with the power to do policies and do developmental plans in a more
wide basis. Why do you think we need more female? Why do you think we need more female leaders?
Well, just to let you know, in the Philippines, we have the Philippine Commission on Women, whose it's a policy making body since 1975, and I'm now wondering why it's not, people are not aware of this policy making body. They want to ensure that women are part of policy making bodies and government agencies. At least 40% of the members should be women. And then they want to ensure also a 50-50 seat in the, you know, public sector, just for women alone. And because they're fighting for equality and trying to mainstream all the concerns of women in this country. But, you know, what I have observed, sure, they have, I think they have the right purpose, the right direction, the right vision, but it's not coming into action, because I feel like there's no awareness. And there is no united, it's fragmented, it's all over the place. There is no strong unity amongst women who should be helping each other. If you're not in the public sector, at least support the ones in the public sector, you know? And, but I think the Philippine Commission on Women is trying their best, but it doesn't really work without the cooperation of women per se. And I think they should also touch on the younger women, because I told you my grit started when I was a child, because it's how I was brought up. So we absolutely deserve a space in the public arena, because mainly, like now, I just actually watched this news feature in CNN. And they were saying the ones who has a more managed crisis in the pandemic were all led by women. Yeah. And this is the prime minister. Yeah, did you see that feature? Did one is the prime minister of New Zealand, the prime minister of Iceland. Most of them have very low causes of death, and they have managed the cases of the coronavirus. And they were saying in the report, because women have better intuition, you know, they acted early, and they're more compassionate, you know, they're more sensitive.
That's the feminine energy.
Yes, they're more compassionate, they're more sensitive. They, like, I think in Iceland or Finland, the testing from the infancy period is already free and massive, because of the care and compassion that the prime minister felt. So we have more empathy, for sure. Yeah. So these are natural traits, gifts of God to women, which we should harness. Yeah. And this can be very clear and obvious in the public sector. But me, it's not my calling. I rather mean the private sector. But for the ones who are braving the public sector, because there's more pressure, and it can be life-threatening as well to them. Look at how they make, and they're not loud about it. You know, they're quiet. In a way, they're non-threatening. I mean, they're not posing a very aggressive demeanor as a leader. They're actually quiet in their terms. But now, look at what they've done.
But you also see more of like these outspoken women senators, the congresswomen in the U.S., like Ilhan Omar, Katie Porter, and you're starting to see more and more of these kinds of individuals who are speaking up in the public sector. And that's
I think sometimes it's also needed. It's just women, when we're more active and strong, they see us as bossy or a bitch, sorry for the word. But if you're a man and you're strong and you have political will, you've seen as a leader and a statesman. So I think there's still more work to do for equality. So we're still working on the equality side, because if there's an equality campaign for the LGBT, why not for women? So sometimes we're really a bit marginalized, but the world is changing, especially in the Philippines. The women, though in the city or in the metropolitan space, women have more voice, but in the provinces, they're still doing the conventional way of their lives, and nobody hears what they feel and their concerns. And yeah, the public sector will definitely absolutely help our voice to be out there in a more massive way, in a more powerful, influential way. And, you know, all of us, I think the private and the public sector should really work together, because there's also a gap there. Okay, so I think it needs a very specialized individual to be doing this. But hey, yeah, we can always pass this over and, you know, strengthen our cause. So yeah, absolutely. And I would love to partner with a public figure, especially in government here in this country, to make these things happen.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to get there. So, you know, similarly, one of the reasons why I created the Societal Shape is hopefully it becomes a movement or a community that grows in time, is because, you know, I am not cut out to be that person in the public sector, but from the private sector, I'd hope to be able to help support, guide, and nurture these female, up-and-coming female leaders within the public sector stage, build a group of trusted network whom they know that they can trust, and they're not driven by money, but are driven by values, character, and for the betterment of society, right?
And
we can't work alone as a country. We need to work together as a regional bloc. And that's the reason why, you know, the goal is for ASEAN. And so thank you so much for your time, Carla, for, you know, sharing the deepest and most rawest parts of your life in a very, very highly appreciated. And we will hopefully, you know, see you in KL soon.
Yes, thank you for having me, and more power to you, Pia. I admire what you're doing. At least there's another space that's being worked on, which is the public sector. And let's just keep on doing what we have to do. And I'm looking forward to more collaboration with you, and more power to your podcast.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your friends. Be sure to tune in to the next episode, and to find out how to be part of Societal Shapers, head to www.plcadilla.com and check out our coaching programs. Catch you soon!